wide receiver Terry McLaurin has requested a trade out of Washington. He has not received the contract he has wanted. The two sides have not made any type of meaningful progress. And while he awaits a new deal, he's lost confidence that he can get it from Washington. And so a team that is awash in good vibes now has its first negative story, a controversy that hangs over this franchise. It's popular, respected, talented wide receiver Terry McLaurin now has asked to be traded.
This, listen, all I want to say, I don't want the horn... The horns, I don't hit the horn button. I want everyone to know I don't hit the horn button. Watch. Watch it play without my hands hitting a thing.
Throw that coal in the fire. Let's go.
Does anybody else laugh at the unintentionally funny Adam Schefter of an organization awash in good vibes?
Yeah, that was a weird.
Like, wow.
Do you think he practiced that one?
It's so heartbreaking to see this organization that was just awash with good vibes.
Yeah.
And now they have their first negative story.
Wow.
Well, all right. Terry McLaurin wants a trade. I have not posted a Twitter poll about whether or not you want Terry McLaurin. I've not asked anybody to call in about Terry McLaurin. What?
I want Terry McLaurin.
I mean, listen.
I'd love Terry McLaurin.
He's great. He's
an awesome player.
He's very good.
Yeah.
He's very, very good.
He does carry a cap of $25 million.
And you know, that'll be a thing.
Be tough. It'd be tough to work around. You could extend him after. He's also 30. Don't know that matters. You're trying to win a Super Bowl right now.
Mm-hmm.
Deadline deal? Is that more likely?
I don't know. No. What position are they most likely to trade for at the deadline?
You're saying it's not wide receiver?
No, it's going to be something on defense. It's
corner?
Defensive back. I'll just say defensive back.
Really, I mean, the real answer is whatever they have an injury at.
Right.
Because, well, last year, they had a Curtis Samuel nagging injury. They had a Coleman. Well, the Coleman injury happens after they trade for Cooper, right?
I'll tell you, the Coleman.
Or is that before?
So, one thing about
Because the year before, Douglas gets traded for because of injury, right? Like, Tre'Davious White had been injured early in the year. They go a couple weeks without him. Then they get Douglas.
Yep.
So that's probably the answer. Whatever they have an injury at, that's what they would trade for.
I was thinking about, you mentioned Coleman, and how did he come up? Oh, the game he got injured in. So
Miami.
Yeah. Just a real quick example of where even the shows that are embedded with a player, like the quarterback series on Netflix with Cousins and Burrow and Goff. Yeah, okay. Thank you. I really like to see that a quarterback or a coach or a player, when they win, they're still upset about something. Because you know how it works, Bills fans. You watch the Bills win. We're gonna watch them Sunday night against the Ravens in the opener, and we'll be going through it, and you'll be mad about something and mad about this. And if they win, but somebody doesn't play well, you might call up and say, like, I didn't like the play call on 3rd and 7. And you'll have people say, like, who cares? We won. And these shows often show you that the players and coaches themselves don't even look at it as who cares, we won. Publicly, they do. Sometimes. Cousins in that show, there's a game they win where he throws really no good passes on a final drive, and Younghoo Koo hits a 58-yarder to win.
Mm-hmm.
And in the locker room, he's going to talk to his teammates, talking to Mooney, like, sorry, I missed you on those throws. Like, I'm not happy with that final drive. They drove to win the game.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's not happy about it. It wasn't very good. The only thing we did well was a defensive pass interference. That's why we got a call. And other than that, we didn't do anything. And that was the Bills against the Dolphins here in Buffalo last year. Tie game, they didn't really do anything. They got a DP. They got a penalty on Poyer for hitting Coleman and hit a big kick, and that was it. And it's just interesting to me because maybe Hard Knocks shows us a side of Allen or some players that we don't know about. It's preseason. It's going to be tough. It's training camp. It's going to be tough. The Netflix quarterback show being embedded in a season to see that kind of stuff. Like, I really just appreciate that. I like that, you know, even the quarterback that you think is a middle-tier quarterback and not that impressive and he can't move and he's not your favorite guy, like, after a win, he's looking at it and saying, ugh, that was pretty rough.
Yeah.
Burrow, after a game they win, 9 false starts? What are we doing out there?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
He's like mad at the coach for trying to put a positive spin on it.
Yeah. And some competitors are going to be like that and others are not. So I just find it interesting. You know, you get a look in to see how these guys operate. So that's all. You teased the top 10 offenses according to who?
Nate Tice. Nate Tice,
Yahoo Sports.
Yep.
Very good.
Does the podcast with
Charles McDonald.
Yep.
Great podcast. Football 301.
You want to guess them? Top 10 offenses in the league.
Predicting the top 10 offenses.
Yep.
Okay. I'll just rattle off 10 names. I won't think too long, and we'll see what I do here. But I'll say Bills, Lions, yep. Ravens.
Yep.
Bengals. Bills, Lions, Ravens, Bengals.
Yep.
Top 10 offenses. Do I want to go for the Eagles? Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Cowboys?
Nope.
Not the Cowboys. They will be. So he's wrong. Sorry. I got the first 5.
I'd be interested to see who you would want to take out of here.
Washington?
Nope.
Okay. He's wrong again.
Do you want them in order of the ones you've gotten so far?
Let me help you out there.
So you guessed the Lions?
Yes.
They're number 9.
All right. Big Ben Johnson drop off.
You guessed the Eagles?
Yep.
They're number 6.
Okay.
You guessed the Rams?
I did not, but I would.
Okay, sorry. They're number 5.
Thank you for giving me the Rams, which I would have guessed, totally.
They're number 5. Yep.
Yep.
Bengals are number 3.
Okay.
Ravens are number 2.
Okay. Are Bills number 1?
The Bills are number 1.
Okay.
Bury the lead here. The Bills, he has as the number 1 offense in the National Football League. Nate Tice. So you're missing number 4?
7, 8, and 10.
7, 8, and 10.
Okay. Is he going to say, like, the Jaguars?
Nope.
Yeah, good. Neither would I. He did not put the Steelers.
No,
thank you, good.
The Steelers. I had another.
I don't remember who was yelling
about the Steelers yesterday, but I'm just like, I was looking at Russell Wilson stats versus Aaron Rodgers stats. Like, they're going to be the same football team. Anyways, yes, the Niners?
They're yeah.
Number 7. 4, 8, and 10.
Who are they? Chiefs?
Chiefs are number 10.
Okay. The Vikings?
Nope.
I wouldn't put the Vikings either. Bears?
Nope. You're in the right division, though.
No, the Packers.
Packers are number 8.
Okay.
And you're just missing number 4.
Who's number 4?
Tampa.
Oh, okay. Good.
Fourth best offensive football. Bills number 1, though. Chiefs number 10.
Good. That's where you want to be.
I agree.
That's where you want to be. All right.
Offensive line, one of the reasons he cited for why he put the Bills number 1.
Bills have a great offensive line. No dispute.
Yep.
No Washington.
Not the Josh Allen.
No Washington, no Dallas. Okay. The story out of Dallas is that Jaden Blue is the lead back.
Yes.
And he looks very good. Running backs.
His competition is very, Miles Sanders and Javonte Williams.
Evaluating running backs in training camp to me is very difficult to do. You're not seeing.
That's probably right.
You know, you're not seeing full tackles on most drills. It's a lot of up thud. They all just run, get hit, and then run to the end zone on every play. Right?
Right.
Every running back just breaks it.
Yeah, that's right. Well, isn't the guy that is the smaller, quicker guy more likely to stand out in training camp than the big, bruising back? Like, you wouldn't expect. Is Caleb Johnson is more of that in Pittsburgh, the rookie out of Iowa? Like, a little bigger, a little more physical? Like,
so far,
I haven't read one thing about him in training camp, and I'm not worried, though, because.
I read one thing about him, and it's not good.
Okay. Well, I was going to say, like, he might be a guy that is less likely to have a great training camp because he's not built on speed and elusiveness.
Yeah. I read one thing on Caleb Johnson in Pittsburgh. I drafted him in Dynasty in, like, the middle first round, and it was that he was not holding up in pass protection. Which is
okay, that's not the thing I want to hear
about.
That's
right. That's not good.
Yeah.
You want your rookie backs to show they can block.
Right.
Or else they don't see the field.
Like Jaden Blue. Jaden Blue is 5'9", 196. Like, I would want him to stand out in training camp.
And look shifty.
For sure. Like, without the contact yet, I would want him to look like he's the fastest guy out there. So.
Walter writes in the chat, I like Scary Terry McLaurin. But I can't even begin to entertain the idea because if we weren't interested in a younger DK Metcalf, I can't see the idea of Scary Terry. Yeah, the McLaurin thing, I don't see a pathway. Yeah. There have been plenty of years where the pathway has existed, but I mean, the Bills have, if I could say this, spent a lot at receiver.
Yeah.
They've kind of spent a lot of money at receiver. And if they hadn't, if they had cap space, maybe we could talk about McLaurin, but it's just, it's not really possible. The Ayuk story a year ago, and he tears his ACL, but that was doable. They could have made some moves. It was, the cap hit was lower. He was a lot younger.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the things about Ayuk, I don't know if you should trust him in from an injury standpoint, but he is incredible.
Mm-hmm.
He had 1,000 yards 2 years ago on like 100 targets or something.
Yeah,
it was nuts.
Much. Wasn't much.
They didn't even throw him the ball.
105 targets. He had 1,342 yards.
On 105 targets, that's nuts.
That is crazy.
That's a guy who, if he ever went to an offense where he got featured, he'd put up 1,800 yards. He's incredible.
He had 13 yards per target.
Yeah.
Not per reception. He had 13 yards per target.
And now he's kind of an afterthought. I don't know.
Well, he got injured.
He got hurt. And where's he going in fantasy? A lot later than he probably should. If he's healthy, it's a bargain. But, you know, that's a big bet. It is funny, though, because like betting against guys and injuries, here's Diggs coming in off an ACL, and he's apparently totally fine.
Totally fine.
And Ayuk coming off an ACL, and he's kind of a ghost. Like, nobody really thinks about him. So,
well, one guy's is Ayuk's not practicing, right?
Right.
Ayuk is going right now as wide receiver number 47, right after Matthew Golden.
That's worth a flyer.
If you believe he's going to be healthy.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, the Niners, I mean, here's Nate Tice putting them as a top 10 offense. What are they throwing the ball to right now?
Well, Juwan Jennings picked up an injury too, right?
That's right. Ricky Pearsall can't stay off the injury report. They have Kittle. Kittle's awesome. And then you have two receivers that, listen, Juwan Jennings is pretty good.
He's got a calf injury, Jennings.
Okay. But he's pretty good. He's a pretty good player. Pearsall was a pretty good prospect. We haven't seen enough from him to know if he's good yet. That is not prime Brandon Ayuk and Deebo Samuel like they were throwing out there 3-4 years ago. And McCaffrey is coming off injuries, Achilles and PCL. Like, I'm not saying they can't be a top 10 offense, but I would not. Like, that would be the team I would have kicked out of that list. Because I can't trust Ayuk to be out there. I can't trust McCaffrey to be out there. I can't trust Jennings and Pearsall maybe to be out there. It's Brock Purdy and George Kittle. Good luck.
Right, and they even lost Jordan Mason, who was a very good backup to McCaffrey when he got hurt. And he's not
great.
There.
Right. They have a great line. You know, Trent Williams is great, but that's a team to me that's on real thin ice right now. If they can stay healthy and all those guys perform to their max, then yes, they could be awesome. But I feel like they are so... They could so easily break through the ice like that, where they have another one of these 6-7 win seasons, and we chalk it up to injury, but that's kind of what you are right now. The Niners are completely dependent on whether those guys can stay healthy.
Should we think about Micah Parsons at all? Maybe not a trade now, but next year. Is he going to become a UFA? Is that actually going to happen?
No, because they would tag him, wouldn't they?
Okay, but if he says, I'm not going to play for you on the tag, and teams start making offers. I was thinking about the think of it this way. Remember Myles Garrett took out a full-page ad to say goodbye to the Browns? Remember Trey Hendrickson making a big-time push to, I'm driving all the way to Florida?
Yeah.
And now he's back. Here's Terry McLaurin demanding a trade. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know if he'll leave. Guys don't ultimately leave. So, you know, we could get to next year where Parsons says, I won't play on the franchise tag. And we're like, all right, could anybody actually pull him free? Are we going to, again, like, all this hinges on who knows what happens during the season.
Right.
But if they come up short and they feel like, well, Bosa was okay, Parsons about to hit the market, should we give him $200 million?
Right. I think they will. So, that's kind of why I'm hesitant to talk about or even think about him for the Bills. I think they would love him. He's the exact player they've been chasing for 7 years. But this is Dallas. Dallas always drags these out, and they always wait too long to pay guys, and they end up costing themselves money for it. I've said this before. I think there is a chance Jerry Jones does this on purpose, say in the news stream. I think they'll sign Micah Parsons. I just don't believe that he'll get out of there, that they'll offer him the bag in a year, and Parsons is going to go, well, okay, now they're offering me the money I want, and I can remain a Dallas Cowboy where I'm always going to have a high profile, and I'm always going to be on national television, and I'm going to have this inflated sense of being a star, even if I don't deserve it, and he does. So I can't believe that he actually gets out of there the same way I could believe that Hendrickson would.
I don't know that he gets out of there just because you sometimes have to make it uncomfortable and you have to be the bad guy. I don't think any of that other stuff about him being a star matters to him. Like, Parsons is super.
I mean, he's got a podcast.
Sure, he'd have a podcast. He would have a podcast in a lot of cities. I think Parsons knows his owner is a
buffoon.
Yes, thank you. I think Parsons knows that and says as much. And there's a little bit of a movement that way. Not to say the Cowboys are like the Pittsburgh Pirates, but it seems that it's more openly talked about. Like, the Pirates this year in baseball, because of Paul Skeens, have caught a lot of flack. Like, this is not a serious organization. And here's J.J. Watt flat out calling out Jerry Jones for being a buffoon. Mm-hmm. And it feels like that movement is going more and more in that direction. And if Parsons wants to make it difficult or make it uncomfortable, I think he could usher in his exit somehow. I don't know if you could ever win a whatever staring contest with Jerry Jones.
I was going to say,
you're going to play on the franchise tag or you're not going to play in the league. But if Parsons could get a team to pony up, like, hey, you'll give me $170 million and trade two firsts.
That's the thing. Like, it's who's in charge there, too. If Parsons, makes it uncomfortable and says, okay, I want to be traded. I'm not playing on the franchise tag. I don't care what you do. I'm not playing for you again. You're not going up against Kevin Adams. You're going up against Jerry Jones. Right. You say, I don't want to be there anymore. What's Jerry Jones going to say? You're a Dallas Cowboy. I'll tag you again next year if I want. Like, he doesn't care.
I'm trying to think who Dallas has traded. They traded Amari Cooper because they didn't want to pay him.
But they didn't, like, all the Dak contract stuff, he never got out of there. Like, that's Elliott ended up getting paid. Like, Lamb, all these guys end up getting paid.
But did
Cooper got traded. Cooper had been paid before that, though.
Right. But all those guys, other guys, did they really want to leave?
Who?
Dak, CeeDee Lamb.
No, they wanted to get paid. Cowboys and get paid.
Yeah.
And you're saying that could be different for Parsons?
I'm saying Parsons might be the kind of guy that's had enough. Like, I don't want to deal with this idiot.
Okay.
I don't know.
That's possible. I mean, the comment he made about injuries and, like, he could get hit by a car, like, just...
Yeah.
I could see somebody taking that really poorly.
Pretty weird. 803-0550 and 1-888-550-2550. We'll check in with Paul Hamilton coming up next segment. The Sabres announced a contract extension for Devin Levi. So he signs for 2 more years. What if I told you... And we'll get to Paul again in the next segment, see what he thinks about all this. What if I told you, after the 7 games that he played and they missed by a point, in 2 years, the Sabres will sign him to an extension for $800,000 a year? You'd say...
Two-way contract, too.
You'd say, what happened?
Yeah, you're going to say, well, that didn't go well. Yeah,
what happened? He's the franchise. He's the savior. He's the wonder kid.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Next contract is 2 years, $810,000.
And everyone would have been extremely disappointed. You also probably would have easily believed that the drought is still happening.
Yes. And then you would also kind of say, well, has he been terrible? No. He's not really done well in the NHL. He's had some struggles. They pushed him into a starting role.
Mm-hmm.
How's he been in the AHL? Amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. Well... Okay, then what's happening? It's just kind of
And your answer would probably be, well, he's like every other goaltender.
Yeah, this is how it's supposed to go.
He needs development.
Yep.
And they rushed him.
The hype train got rolling in a big way. But it was deserved hype. He was playing, like, those 7 games, that was a level, at least 6 of them were, where we're like, whoa, all right, I have seen the future, and it is Devin Levi.
Right.
So anyway. Yeah. 2 years, two-way, $810,000. He didn't pursue anything. He could have offer-sheeted, right?
He couldn't have done arbitration. He wasn't eligible for arbitration. I think he was eligible for an offer sheet. So I guess I don't know how much leverage he really had.
I don't think he's eligible for the offer sheet because he's on his entry level.
Gotcha.
Still.
Okay.
So he was a 10.2C.
So now after this one.
After this one, he would be.
Okay.
Correct. I was surprised it was this amount of money. I thought
this cheap.
I mean, Askarov's making almost $2 million. I think might be $1.5 million. But
is he a good comp?
I think they're very similar. AHL, supposed to be the next guy,
yeah,
got traded to another team. Like, they are remarkably similar prospects.
Askarov's played 14 games in the NHL.
Right.
So they're got like $2 million.
Yeah, and he's making over $1.5 million. Mm-hmm. Although, that might be San Jose
getting the cap floor.
Cap floor issues.
That could be. And the Sabres are above the cap floor.
Yes, they are.
Congratulations.
by a healthy margin. I think they have $4 million in cap space, $5 million in cap space. They're like middle of the pack right now. Levi's won't end up counting anything once the season starts because he's probably gonna be Rochester. But
we're watching Fling Golf.
Fling Golf looks fun
on the Ocho.
Would you do this?
No.
No?
No interest.
It's like, so their golf ball is inside of like a, it almost looks like a really long lacrosse stick.
Yeah, it looks like lacrosse golf.
Kind of, but the basket is like the size of a golf ball. It's very, very small. And that thing, like the stick, like whips. And they're, I think they throw this thing like almost 300 yards. I think it's like the size of a drive, like a normal drive.
And just do not have any interest.
No?
No. Why are we not putting Slippery Stairs on the Ocho? I mean, we've been here.
No, that's prime time tonight.
Oh, okay.
That's why.
You know what? That makes sense.
This is 9:25 the Ocho in the morning.
Right. The events we're watching today, I keep thinking I'd rather watch Slippery Stairs.
They're saving that for the big time slot later. Right next to Extreme Archery Championship, which they're again promoting in the bottom corner here, which I still would like to know what that actually means.
There's T-Rex World Championship races.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah.
They'll be wearing like the big inflatable T-Rex suits, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah. A banana ball. That's the Savannah Bananas. Okay.
Cool.
The Bubblegum Blowing Championship.
We saw that already.
Okay.
That was up there.
Freestyle chess.
What does that mean? Freestyle chess?
I don't know. Bike polo. There's also diving chess.
How many incarnations of chess could there possibly
be? Great question.
Diving chess is going to be in the pool?
Yeah, I mean, presumably.
You dive into the pool?
I don't know if it's like, yeah, I don't think you dive into, you know, Jell-O.
Or into the chessboard?
Diving chess.
It's like you get to a place on the board and you have to dive into the board like a Bills fan goes through a table. I don't know.
What's it say that they run this against preseason football and preseason football conversations? Yeah, there's diving chess. You play chess at the bottom of a pool.
At the bottom of a pool?
Yeah.
So what are they? They have like oxygen tanks?
It's not swimming chess. It's diving chess. No, you dive.
Okay, so you have to come back up for air, though.
Yeah, you dive underwater to observe the position and consider and play their move before they resurface to take a breath. So when you go down, you can hold your breath the whole time. You don't get to think any more than you can hold your breath.
Okay.
And then you make your move.
Okay.
Such chess games last on average 1 hour. Combination of physical and intellectual performance is a challenge to manage one's oxygen levels while making good chess moves.
There also, I'd search diving chess. There also is skydiving chess.
Yeah.
With the board that's connected between the two skydivers at the same time. That one I don't think would last an hour.
Who invented skydiving chess? The skydiving community or the chess community?
Probably somebody that did both would be my guess.
I just want to do my two favorite things at once.
Chess and skydiving.
Yeah, right. Why can't I just play chess while I skydive? All right, Paul Hamilton on the other side on the Sabres and the Levi contract. See what he, you know, reads into that. It's Jeremy and Joe here on a Friday, a beautiful Friday here on WGR.